14 years after our Lord's death, St. Mary Magdalene, St. Martha, St. Lazarus, and others of this little band of Christians, who were piled into a boat without sails or oars and pushed out to the sea, to perish during the persecution of the Christians by the Jews of Jerusalem. Now on the boat were the remains of St. Anne, for they feared it would be profaned in the destruction, which Jesus had told them was to come upon Jerusalem. And this very group of Christians were careful to carry with them the tenderly loved body of Our Lady's mother. Amazingly, by the power of God, their boat miraculously survived and finally drifted to the shores of France. And this is where the little company of saints buried St. Anne's body in a cave, in a place called Apt, which is in the south of France. The church, which was later built over the spot, fell into decay because of wars and religious persecutions, and as the centuries passed, the place of St. Anne's tomb was forgotten. The long years of peace which Charlemagne, the former Holy Roman Emperor's wise rule, gave to southern France, enabled the people to build a magnificent new church on the site of the old chapel at Apt. Extraordinary and painstaking labor went into the building of the great structure, and when the day of its consecration arrived, which was on Easter Sunday, 792 AD, the beloved Charlemagne, little suspecting what was in store for him, declared himself happy indeed to have journeyed so many miles to be present for the holy occasion. At the most solemn part of the ceremonies, a boy of 14, blind, deaf, and dumb from birth, to the amazement of those who knew him, completely distracted the attention of the entire congregation by becoming suddenly tremendously excited. He rose from his seat, walked up the aisle to the altar steps, and to the consternation of the whole church, struck his stick resoundingly again and again upon a single step. His embarrassed family tried to lead him out, but he would not move. He continued frantically to pound the step, straining with his poor, muted senses to impart a knowledge sealed hopelessly within him. The eyes of the people turned upon the emperor, and he, apparently inspired by God, took the matter into his own hands. He called for workmen to remove the steps. A subterranean passage was revealed directly below the spot, which the boy's stick had indicated. In this passage, the blind boy jumped, to be followed by the emperor, the priests, and the workmen. They made their way in the dim light of candles, and when farther along the passage, they came upon a wall that blocked further advance. The boy signed that this also should be removed. When the wall fell, there was brought to view still another long, dark corridor. At the end of this, the searchers found a crypt upon which, to their profound wonderment, they found a vigil lamp alight and burning. As Charlemagne and his afflicted small guide with their companion stood before the lamp, its light went out. And at that same moment, the boy, blind and deaf and dumb from birth, felt sight and hearing and speech flood into his young eyes, his ears, and his tongue. "It is she! It is she!" he cried out. The great emperor, not knowing what he meant, nevertheless repeated the words after him. The call was taken up by the crowds in the church above, as the people sank to their knees, bowed in the realization of the presence of something celestial and holy. The crypt at last was opened, and a casket was found within it. In the casket was a winding sheet, and in the sheet were relics, and upon the relics was an inscription that read, "Here lies the body of Saint Anne, mother of the glorious Virgin Mary." The winding sheet, it was noted, was of Eastern design and texture. Charlemagne, overwhelmed, venerated with profound gratitude the relics of the Mother of Heaven's Queen. He remained a long time in prayer. The priests and the people, awed by the graces given them in such abundance and by the choice of their countryside for such a heavenly manifestation, for 3 days spoke, but rarely, and then in whispers. The emperor had an exact and detailed account of the miraculous finding, drawn up by a notary and sent to Pope St. Leo III, with an accompanying letter from himself. These documents and the Pope's reply are preserved to this day. My dear brothers and sisters, since today is the feast of Saint Anne, the grandmother of our Lord, let us now take this time to offer up a short prayer to Saint Anne. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good Saint Anne, you were especially favored by God to be the mother of the Most Holy Virgin Mary, the mother of our Savior. By your power, with your most pure daughter, and with her divine Son, kindly obtain for us the grace and the favor we now seek. Please secure for us also forgiveness of our past sins, the strength to perform faithfully our daily duties, and the help we need to persevere in the love of Jesus and Mary. Amen. Saint Anne, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.